Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 103, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Feeling good. How are you feeling? 888-808-1019. Big victory for your New York Knicks. 116-113, and Jalen Brunson is not the hero we deserve. But something like that with Batman. I just completely, it's not the hero we need, but the one we deserve, or something. Not the one we deserve, but the one we need. You've seen it, I'm sure. I ruined it. It's okay. We move on. 888-808-1019. But with big moments like this, let's hear Breen. We just heard the call from Ian Eagle, and me and Fleegs were just talking about it. I watched exclusively Breen and, Clyde. I didn't watch the TNT broadcast at all, but to have Ian Eagle on one broadcast and Breen on the other, I mean, you could argue, I think it's almost hard not to agree with the idea that the two best basketball broadcasters in the world right now were calling that game for the Knicks last night, and especially the connection that we have to Ian Eagle here at the station, here at the city, voice of the Nets, and everything else. I mean, those are icons, and to have both of them making that call in that moment, that game, amazing. But let's hear the double bang from Breen as Jalen Brunson hits the game-winning shot to send the Knicks to the second round of the NBA playoffs for the third time in the last 3 years.
Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining, and the Pistons call timeout.
Oh, that's still a world of time, folks. As that's what Clyde said immediately after. Listen, awesome. A double bang. There's nothing better than a double bang. What was the shot? Was it last year, 2 years ago? I think DiVincenzo's shot got a triple bang, right? See if you can wrestle that one up. I know I'm being a pain in the butt. See if you can find me the DiVincenzo triple bang. I know nobody wants to hear that as Minnesota's made its way to the second round and everybody misses DiVincenzo and he's just what they're missing, apparently. But nothing better than the double bang, only a triple bang. Which, listen, this shot is as big as DiVincenzo's. I mean, this won them the game and sent them to the second round, same as last year. This is an enormous shot and an enormous, I mean, listen, the superlatives, we're running out of them for Jalen Brunson. Who would have thought? I got to be totally honest with you. And I know if you listen to the afternoon show and my guy, Tommy, who I worked with for years with Evan, Craig and Evan, Now, obviously, Positive Tommy on the afternoon show with Tiki and Evan. But they had this, they've been making shirts and messing with him for his tweet. I saw Evan even retweeted about, you know, Jalen Brunson is good, not great. It doesn't help them win a championship. When will it ever stop with the New York Knicks? Like, that was a fair take back then. I got to be totally honest with you. I know he had a really good playoff series with Dallas that year. The connection with his father and the team. And I was somewhat pleased with the signing, but I mean, this is one of the more pleasant. I mean, I guess all superstars are pleasant surprises. I mean, except for free agents, I suppose, like major already superstar free agents. But I guess in free agency, this is probably the biggest free agent surprise from what you thought you were going to be getting to what you ultimately got. I mean, we are talking, he is putting himself in the handful of greatest Knick players of all time. Like, he's putting himself in that conversation. He's putting himself there with Walt. He's putting himself there with Willis. He's putting himself there with Patrick. He's putting himself there with whoever else you want to throw into that mix. Like, he just is. With shots like this, performances like this, and what he has become and what he has transformed this team into, and how much, you know, he has endeared himself to the fan base, whether it's, you know, the Players Tribune article that he put out before the playoffs last year, or taking less money on his contract and signing early and foregoing the max money he could have made next year. Just everything about this guy screams he gets it, he wants to be here, and he has turned himself into one of the greatest Knicks of all times, one of the greatest players in the NBA right now, and arguably, and he has the hardware to prove it, the most clutch player in the NBA, and right now the best closer in the game. And last night he was worthy of a double bang just for fun and just because it's a Nick kind of night and we're going to reminisce and have some good times. Let's hear the triple bang from DiVincenzo. It was only a double bang? Oh, it's not a triple. Okay, maybe I was wrong. I thought we had a triple bang.
Let's hear. He would only do triple if the Knicks make the finals.
Is that so? I could have sworn we had a triple bang once. Maybe I'm losing it. All right, but let's hear the other double bang from last year's playoffs, DiVincenzo against the Sixers.
Brunson looks to push it. 43 seconds remaining. Brunson drives, stops, up top to Hart. Back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Wow, yeah, that was some sequence. But yes, that's where we are. We're back to the same spot we were last year, heading into the second round. This year is a much tougher obstacle. The defending champs, the Boston Celtics, this is going to be a tougher series. I don't know how good I feel about it, but I feel good we're going to be playing that game. I feel good the next time we see the Knicks will be Monday night in Boston as opposed to Saturday back in Madison Square Garden for a Game 7. They avoided it. They took care of business. Jalen Brunson was the superstar we all expect him to be and what we've known to be him over the last couple of years. Hits the biggest shot. Leads the Knicks back after one of the more topsy-turvy games you could possibly have in a playoff series. Up 14, down 2. This is how this game went. At the end of one, up 14. At the end of the half, down 2. At the end of the third quarter, up 11. With 2.5 minutes to play in the game, down 7. You can't have it more just absolutely up and down. Great play, miserable play, allowing the Pistons back into the game, taking it from them, back into the game. It's going to slip away. We're going to Game 7. And then Jalen Brunson hits a floater and one, has a miraculous kind of shot where I thought he was going to fall on his ass right on the baseline, but he managed to keep his balance, hit a big shot. Bridges with the tip in. Karl Anthony Towns chips in for a second there with a steal and one foul shot. And then Brunson hits the biggest shot of the season, the three-pointer reminiscent of Jordan against the Utah Jazz in 1998 in an enormous shot to send the Knicks to the second round. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Ben in Brooklyn. What's up, Ben?
Hey, C-Mac. Good morning.
What's up, Ben? How are we doing? Good morning.
Doing well. I love listening to you while my fiance sleeps in the bedroom. So,
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're great. What a game. Crazy emotional roller coaster. Ugh. I am so glad we pulled it out. And I heard Kat speaking after the game, and honestly, he was like, phew, because Brunson and the Knicks basically bailed him out. And if they had lost, oh, we'd be calling and ranting about how bad Towns is and how he's soft, how he collapsed, this and that. So, yeah, he's relieved that his teammates captain clutch, you know.
And I think everyone on the floor is. I think the coach is. I think everybody is.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he stepped up. He's so clutch.
He is unbelievably clutch.
Honestly, it could have gone either way. And that's what's so great about the playoffs. And we could be what the Pistons almost were to the Knicks, as what the Knicks will be against the Celtics. So, you know, we're tough too. Pistons almost pulled it out with us. So we can do it. And I'm going into this next series super positive. You know, in the playoffs, anything can happen. Any team can step up big time. And the best part, we're now playing with house money. The pressure's on Boston. You know,
I think you just said something where I agree with the second half. I don't necessarily agree with the first half. And thank you for the call, Ben. I don't think the Knicks are not playing with house money. First off, let me just say this, and not to get on Ben too much overall. Even when I was describing Game 7 for the Pistons, I didn't use the term house money. I said all the pressure would be on the Knicks because there is no such thing as house money. every year you get an opportunity to win a series, you have to take advantage of it because you have no idea what next year brings. The idea that the Knicks are playing with house money, I mean, yeah, okay, they're underdog in the series, heavily underdog in the series. And I would venture to say not many people, save the crazy, you know, Knick fan who just, you know, just out of sheer exuberance and love for the team is going to tell you they have a chance. Like, I think most people expect this series to go to the Celtics and, quite honestly, probably not be a very long series. But the idea that it's some sort of, you know, house money and it doesn't matter if they win or lose, it matters. They made moves to get to this point. They can't keep banging their head in the second round. Like, you have to get to an Eastern Conference final. You have to win an NBA championship. Like, that's what this is about. It's not about, like, as much as I'm excited about last night and thrilled about last night, and at times, especially when we see Brunson playing the way he played, hitting that shot, I am able to take a step back and recognize how great this is compared to what we've been dealing with for forever, and I can enjoy it. It doesn't change the fact that, you know, ultimately, I'm not going to, my head's not going to hit the pillow when they get eliminated by the Celtics and go, man, that was a great series against the Pistons. Like, they've got to continue to get better, and they've got to figure out a way to get to the NBA Finals and win their first championship since the early 70s. Like, they have to. So the idea it's house money, I find patently ridiculous. There is no such thing as house money. They better freaking win. If they don't win, it's not a colossal failure. If they don't win, I don't think it's not like the coach has to get fired or the team has to get blown up. If they lose to the defending champs, who may very well go on and win it again, it's not the end of the world, I suppose. It's not a devastating gut punch where you're hanging your head and wondering what the hell's going on with this franchise. But at the same time, you have to go win it. Who knows what happens next year? Who knows? Especially, I hate to say it, you know, hate to even talk it into existence, Brunson's had some issues about staying healthy. Who knows if they get to the postseason next year and Brunson's not healthy and they don't have a chance to win? Like, these are the moments you have the opportunity, you have to jump on it. So not only the Knicks aren't playing with house money, there's no such thing, and the Knicks have pressure on them, not as much as the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics can't lose the series. I think that's obvious. You know, I mean, they did win a championship, so I don't know if that alleviates any pressure, but they're supposed to win the series. And if the Knicks can make it exciting, if the Knicks can force a game six at Madison Square Garden, you'll be talking about one team with all the pressure and the other team playing loosey-goosey. But house money, and maybe I'm parsing words here, but I hate that term. I hate the term house money. There's no soft landing for a loss. If they lose, it sucks. If they lose, this team didn't do a good enough job of building itself to get to this point. They have to be good enough to make it to an Eastern Conference final. That's what's expected of them. They have to. And if they're not good enough, then they're not good enough, and they need to figure out a way to get better. But no, it's not. They're not some upstart team that's just made its way into the first round, the playoffs for the first time, and playing some, you know, juggernaut that they'll be lucky if they, you know, have a lead in the series at all. Like, this is a damn good Knick team. They have one of the best players in the league. They have the best closer in the league. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have two of the five starters in the Eastern Conference All-Star game. No house money. Tony in Middletown, Delaware. What's up, Tony?
What is happening, Mr. Golden Pipes McMonagle?
That's right. Did you hear me? I felt like I was in very good song today for the Open. Felt very natural. Felt very good.
Well, wait a second. Do you want to sing? Well, let's do a duet. Sand in my boots. Let's go.
Sand in my boots? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Do you know it?
By Morgan...
Morgan Wallen.
I do
up?
Know the
Let's
song.
Let's get two bars.
What may that is so? I listened to that song today.
Where that's from? I said somewhere never been.
I don't know
to.
All the lyrics.
That's all right. Anyway,
and now was it like? But now I'm just dodging potholes in my sunburn.
Outside of Knoxville.
You just
heading by some dogwood trees. Okay, that's enough.
No, yeah, you just want to sing. Then just tell me you
want
to sing. Don't make it.
No,
don't patronize me. No, you patronized me.
You
came up.
No,
you patronized. You called in. You made it seem like you wanted to hear me sing because you're enamored by my voice. But ultimately, you just wanted to show the world you could sing, and that's fine. Just tell me the truth,
man. We need to do a duet. Okay. I'll get my agent to talk to yours, and we'll
All right, thank you. But that was very Craig of you. That's very Craig of you. Go ahead, go here, sing. I don't know if you know the song or not, but go ahead. Let's go in front of, you know, in front of 150 people at the kick off the summer party. Go ahead, sing it. That was very Craig of you. I like it. What's up?
All right. Well, anyway, so the other night I was listening to you, and you had me. I was not feeling you because look, you were down on the Knicks, and the thing is, you were angry. But the thing is, if you're going to win a championship, you have to overcome adversity, okay? Mm-hmm. So we did that, okay? We did that. Yes, now we're facing the Celtics. If we don't have – I'm going to tell you the crux of the whole series. If we don't have a dude that's going to crash the boards and rock the rim, drive to the bucket like Giannis Antetokounmpo or whatever his name is, we're not going to win. We have to have one dude, and I think it can be Hart or Anunoby. We need a dude to crash the boards with the ball on offense, okay? And we can win this series. If we don't do it, we're not going to win. We're not going to win with just Jalen, you know, shooting.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. I agree, and thank you for the call, Tony. I appreciate it. I certainly agree they're not going to win they're not going to win many games having offense like they had in the fourth quarter. Yesterday, like they're going to need more creativity. They're going to need an actual game plan and you know something. But and they're going to have to get Karl Anthony Towns specifically involved. Now, yeah, you know, listen, second chance points are critical, especially when you're going up against a better team. Like they're going to need some second chance points. They're going to need some offensive rebounding. Mitchell Robinson has been. I thought he had a miserable game in this one. Can I ask a question? Since we're on the subject of. You know, breaking down the different things in this game. Why is it so hard to get a pass to Mitchell Robinson? Like, it's either every time he's under the basket, it's either he's not expecting the pass, it's too high and way above his head. Like, it just seems like anytime they're trying to get Mitchell Robinson the ball, which, honestly, I don't know why you'd want to do. Like, it just felt like it was impossible. It was like... He had the wrong side of the magnet and the ball had the other side. It was just like it couldn't get into his hands. And quite honestly, how many times did we see that this entire series? How many balls off of fingertips? How many off of a steal, right to another steal? Ball bouncing around. This one has it. No, that one has it. Like it was crazy. It was really a very bizarre back and forth wild series. But yeah, Mitch Robinson, who obviously they played a little hack of Mitch in this game for a while. What was that in the second quarter or third? I think it was in the second quarter, right? Towards the end of the half. It might even been the third quarter. I don't know, but they were playing I think it was third quarter. Thank you. Yeah. You know, they were just fouling Mitch to put him at the line. Cause he's, you know, terrible from the foul line. So he's dangerous late in games. He's dangerous, to have on the court. Unfortunately, if they're going to use that strategy as much as Bickerstaff did in the third quarter and at times in this game. But, yeah, you know, they're going to need offensive rebounds. They need to do what they do, right? Part of this team is get offensive rebounds. Part of this team is toughness, defense, or at least that's what Tibbs used to be. And since Mitchell Robinson came back into the team off of his injury, they have been a top 10 defensive team in the NBA, believe it or not. But it's got to get better. And crashing the boards is important, no doubt. And they'll need to, they're going to need to defend the perimeter. Like, again, it doesn't take a basketball maven. I'm not going to give you so many ins and outs. I think two things that I could just give you X's and O's wise, or I don't even know if I'd call it X's and O's wise, but basketball wise, going into this Celtics series off the top of my head before we really dig into Monday, I need to get Karl Anthony Towns involved. And that's getting him involved in taking open threes. Like when Karl Anthony Towns hits open threes, man. And I was watching something and they were talking about the idea that they didn't force at any time with any substitutions or trying to do anything with getting a big on Karl Anthony Towns. Getting, you know, letting him have a big on him. So that he could take him out to the perimeter. Like they always managed to have either, you know, Harris on him or like you got to try and get him in a position where the advantage is with him at the top of the key. and not out in the box, down in the box. Like, you have to figure out a way to get him some open looks at the perimeter, because I need him more involved. And I don't think he's the type of player where he just posts up, you get him the ball. Like, he can do it occasionally, but it's not his strength. It's not what makes him the superstar they traded him for. What makes him the superstar they traded him for is his ability to shoot the three at his size, to be able to post up a little bit, get to the rim, get rebounds, block shots, but ultimately create space on the floor and hit three-pointers. Like, that's what makes him special at his size. And I think they didn't take enough advantage of that in this series, and I'd love to see a game plan that tries to accentuate that. And then the other thing is just plain and simple, just from watching the Knicks against the Celtics all year, they have to do a better job of guarding the perimeter. They have to fight through screens, and they have to stop giving open looks. I mean, you watch the games, go back and watch the games against the Celtics, particularly the first couple. These games are blowouts because the Celtics are hitting 8-9 three-pointers in the first half. Like, way too many looks. Porzingis, too many good looks. Like, that Celtics team is deadly. They have too many guys who can hit the three, and the Knicks, despite having Mikal Bridges and despite having OG Anunoby, whose defense in this series, both of them really were exemplary. Like, they played great defense. Anunoby at times had what? Like, he had how many block shots? How many tough? Like, he was playing great defense. Mikal Bridges has a big block in this game. Like, so despite them in the regular season, who are great defenders and wing defenders and perimeter defenders, they've given up too many good-looking and open threes to the Celtics. So that's the main thing to me in this matchup. And that's without digging deep or, you know, giving too much thought to it. This is just blatant. I remember watching them against the Celtics and the Celtics killing it from behind the arc. There has to be a way to prevent as many open looks as the Celtics have got during the regular season against the Knicks. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
T-Mac, my guy. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, it's always great to talk to you, man. Listen, I got a couple things on the Knicks. So, and you know I'm a big-time Yankee fan, just like you. So I say that to say this, because I know where you have arrived at a place with Giancarlo Stanton that, you know, you will no longer criticize
him.
And for, you know, and with
you
good,
are not allowed to criticize Giancarlo Stanton on this show, not until either he is unable to perform due to injury in the postseason or he's just terrible. Until he gives off of, until he doesn't perform in the postseason, either because of injury or just lack of performance, until that moment, we are no longer allowed to say anything negative about Giancarlo Stanton on the show.
And I am lockstep with you, but I say that to say this, C-Mac, I have arrived at that same place with Jalen Brunson. Yeah. I mean, as great as Stanton has been, I think Brunson has been even better, at the very least, you know, neck and neck. So yeah. I've arrived at that place, and here, you know, he's hitting walk-off shots, you know, in elimination games. But I get it. You know, I understand that a lot of people aren't too enthused with the offense in the fourth quarter. But, like, I was listening to the afternoon show the other day, and as I was saying it out of my mouth, Evan Roberts also said it too. He's like, dude, he was telling, like, Tiki and the other guys, look around the league. That's a league-wide thing. Look at, you know, Anthony Edwards. The guy was 0 for 11 from 3 and wouldn't stop shooting. You know, you got Curry. You know, the ball's going to be in his hand the whole fourth quarter. You got Luka, who the ball's going to be in his hand the whole fourth quarter. And the guy keeps losing in first-round series more than he advances. And nobody kills anybody but Jalen Brunson and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, much more him than Brunson. But I would push back on the idea that just because they take most of, if not all, the shots in the fourth quarter, it doesn't mean the offense is literally, like, I'm sorry, I'll watch some more of it. I feel like I've watched plenty of NBA, even when games are dominated by one player in the fourth quarter. And sure, of course, the best players take the best shots and the biggest shots. That's not new. That's back to the 90s. Like, we knew who the shots were going to be taken by. They're going to be taken by Michael Jordan. You know, Kobe Bryant was going to take the big shot. Like, we all know that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is like, you got to find a way to still make it an offense. And if open shots are there, I mean, John Paxton won championships too for the Bulls. Steve Kerr won championships too for the Bulls with big shots. Like, it's not even in the flow of the offense that allows him to create it, or like they literally stand there at the top of the key, wait for him to run by, hand it to him, and then he dribbles around for 20 seconds and then takes an off balance shot. Like that, there's got to be a better way to do it. No one is saying that. Nobody is saying right now that I want the ball in the hands of OG Anunoby instead for that shot last night. I'm just saying for the entire fourth quarter, that can't be the offense.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. That is the way it's played around the league. It doesn't mean we have to do it the same way. Uh-huh. But here's the other thing. As far as Boston is concerned, we have more than a puncher's chance. I think that's sliding the Knicks, because a puncher's chance just mean like, you know, that's a boxing analogy and you suck and if you just get one lucky punch. Listen, the Boston Celtics, right, they've won one title. But their MO is they're a front-running team. If those threes are falling, you've seen they've been far superior talent-wise to teams like Miami, you know, and Philadelphia, nearly losing to Philadelphia to old James Harden a couple of years ago, and actually losing twice to Miami, and that should never happen. They're not as physical as this Pistons team. I think this series toughened the Knicks up, right? We got the star tissue, and Boston is not built that way. This is going to be a series that's a lot easier to score. They want to, you know, Boston wants to get up and down. They want to spread the court. So I just think that, you know, the Knicks, I wouldn't be surprised if we won in 6 or 7 or lost in 6 or 7. So I'm more positive than most people. But I appreciate your time, C-Mac. Thank you so much.
No, I got it, Ray. Yeah, listen, and thank you. I would be look, you're right on the defensive part. We are not going to see the same level of defensive intensity. We're not going to see the same level of zero space between the defender and the man with the ball. Like, it is, the Pistons played a intense, physical, smothering style of defense. I don't think the Celtics are going to be as tough in that department. And yeah, I think the Knicks might find it easier to score some baskets and have some easier baskets. But the problem is how good the Celtics are and how good offensively they are. Like, make no mistake, the Celtics, they're defending champ. And they went through the postseason last year fairly easy, and they're really talented. So when I say they have a puncher's chance, I mean, what exactly do they do better than the Celtics? Other than have, I mean, they have pretty damn good players too. I'll give Jalen Brunson the benefit of the doubt on being the closer and Mr. Clutch, fine. But, I mean, besides that, like, they were more talented than the Pistons. They're not more talented than the Celtics. They were, you know, they're not better defensively. You know, they're not better shooting the basketball. They're not, like, I don't know what the Celtics are really good. And so, I mean, is it impossible to win the series? No, we've seen stranger things. But it has proven to not be a great matchup for the Knicks. And their inconsistencies in this series is what's going to scare people. And look, let's see. Hey, everyone's going to say that the Knicks have no chance. If they win game one, suddenly everyone's going to say, I told you the Knicks could win this series. Like, let's get into it. It's still it's Monday, so what's today? Friday already? So we got all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're 3-4 days away from game one. I still kind of want to focus on what we saw last night and the excitement and maybe fixing the issues of this Knicks team as opposed to specifically getting into the Celtics series, but we can, and we'll have time to do so. We'll be on Monday morning before the game Monday and have a big preview to that series then. But what we saw last night was special. It was up and down. It was heart in your throat. I was pacing the floor. My wife had an event. This is when you feel bad as a husband. Like, this is where, like, I feel like a bad guy. And she needs to understand, and she does. But then there are just circumstances where, you know, she came home from, like, a PTA event. It was like this basket raffle giveaway hangout thing that they do. And so she comes home right with like 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. And she walks in and she starts talking to me about, oh, well, you know, her sister won this and they won that. And they had this cute little thing. And I tried to win a purple igloo, or whatever the company was, cooler. I know how much you love coolers. I happen to be a cooler guy. To me, there is nothing sexier than a nice full cooler of beer or whatever. With ice, I happen to love coolers. I have like 4 or 5 of them. I don't know why. So I'm a cooler guy. Love coolers. And so she was talking to me about this cooler. She's talking to me about how the night went. She's talking to me about this one said this and everything. And I'm just like, honey, like there's 4 minutes left in this Knick game. I'm not hearing a single word. And then finally she just stopped talking and walked away. And I really haven't spoken to her since. I'm sure she's annoyed with me, but like, and most of the time she gets it, but I guess she felt like, you know, coming right from the event, just wanted to talk to you for 5 minutes, haven't seen you for a few hours. And I was just, you know, the game was free. Now, if only the Knicks, you see, this is when it affects your marriage. That's when the problem. If the Knicks would have just held on to an 11-point fourth quarter lead and made it nice and easy, I would have been able to have the conversation about who won the cooler. I would have been able to have that conversation. But instead, they blow the damn thing, and they're down 7 points with 2.5 minutes left. And I'm like, no, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes, right. She's the one with the husband. Yes, no, right, I got you. 888-808-1019. That was the kind of night it was. You couldn't take your eyes off the screen. It was up and down, runs. And thankfully, the Knicks ended on an 11-1 run, and Jalen Brunson hits the biggest shot of the season. Hopefully more to come. 888-808-1019. Your call still to come. We'll get into some other things as well. Mainly Knicks here on this, I'll steal it from them, what the hell, Feel Good Friday, as the Knicks take it 4-2 over the Detroit Pistons, and we get ready for a Boston Celtics series starting on Monday.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
World Series over! Yankees win! The Yankees win!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 141, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's just get back to your phone calls as we are all recovering from this series, and you know, that's part of it. I'm glad they've got 3 days. This was, I mean, you got to give it to the Pistons. Now, Bickerstaff is, to me, look, I had real problems with the way Tibbs went about certain things in the series. Clearly, the leaving Brunson and Hart on the sidelines for the last 2 minutes of the game, two minutes plus, really, the other night. I don't love the game plan offensively at the end of the game. Some issues, and you know, Bickerstaff had, you know, he got his team ready to play, that's for sure, but Breen mentioned it a couple times, he does not stop complaining. I know Josh Hart complains a lot, I know the Knicks complain for fouls a lot, Karl-Anthony Towns complains, and you had the entire building screaming flopper to Jalen Brunson, so I know the Knicks, it's a little bit of a teapot calling the kettle black, but like Bickerstaff never stops complaining ever. I mean, he is just in the face of the referees every second. He got teed up in this game. He's complaining about the fouls in the post game. It was obnoxious. Now, he did a great job with this team to go from what they had 14 wins last year to 41 or whatever it was this year. Incredible job. And they came out and they played with an intensity. They never stopped playing. Like, I'll give him credit for the mental fortitude that his team showed. And unfortunately for him and for good for us is that the Knicks pretty much were the better team in the fourth quarter, except for most of the fourth quarter in this particular game last night. But eventually the 11-1 run at the end sealed the deal for who the better fourth quarter team was this entire series. And I know Beasley put out some stuff about being the more mentally tough team. I thought the Knicks come out of this, and I feel pretty good about their mental toughness. Like, that's, I mean, I have issues about how they play the game of basketball a little bit. And maybe one player in Karl Anthony Towns, I'm a little concerned about his toughness, only because it's his MO. And two plays in this game made me think he was afraid to take shots. The open three at the top of the key, and how short that second free throw was at the end of the game. Like, that felt like a pressure caused missed foul shot from Karl Anthony Towns. But other than that, I thought they pushed back. I don't think they let anybody walk all over them. I don't think they, you know, backed down from the physicality. I think they were right there. I think they pushed back. I think they punched back. I thought they were mentally tough in this series and came through that. And I feel better about them in that way because their toughness was part of the question. Like, when we talk about this Boston series, and we will, you know, maybe as we get through closer to five, and certainly Monday night, or should I say Monday morning, we'll clearly talk a lot about the Celtics series prior to game one on Monday night. But like, our questions about the toughness of this team and the mental toughness of this team, I feel, and the cohesion of this team, I feel a lot better about it. I'll be totally honest with you. I feel better about the team in that manner. They needed to close out this series in five. They need to find a way to get the offense going in times when it's stagnant, and certainly when it becomes hero ball at the end of the game, even though it helped them win this one. They need to get Karl Anthony Towns involved. They need to get Mikal Bridges playing better. They need to figure out, you know, probably how to use their bench a little bit more and get more out of their bench and, like, do certain things. There's a lot of things they need to do better, but the toughness question and the physicality question, I feel like a lot of that's been answered and in a positive way, and I think the Knicks might owe a debt of gratitude. If this becomes a good series against Boston, you might turn and look at this Pistons series and thank them for the tough battle that they were and the first hurdle that really helped this Knicks team prepare for a tough Boston series. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Mount Vernon. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Chris. I was on a plane back to New York with like 4 minutes left. We took off. So I didn't even find out the Knicks won until later. So I was amazed. But, you know,
yeah. They
had a couple of fortunate wins this series. But I don't care. The Knicks lost for 20 years. You got to give them credit. I give them credit. You know, any win, they battled it. Detroit, I don't watch a lot of regular season basketball. Detroit's a lot better than I thought. They're very athletic and play deep. But, Chris, you know, you're right, man. When it's basketball, they don't move the ball and guys aren't moving without the ball, it's terrible, terrible basketball. Coach Tibbs, if you're listening, you can move the ball and still give Brunson the last shot. You know, you're right. The game, the style of basketball they're playing, It's not sustainable. They'll never beat the Celtics like that. More movement, but you give them credit. Good win. Any way you get it.
Thanks, yeah, man. Oh, absolutely. And thank you for the call, Mike. I don't disagree that they're going to have to be better. Yeah. As you go along and as you continue to progress through the postseason, you got to get better. You're going to have to be better than you were in this series to win the next one. And theoretically, depending on who they would play in the Eastern Conference Finals, most likely the Cleveland Cavaliers, you'll have to be better than you were against the Celtics to beat them. And then be better against the NBA champion, the Western Conference champion, than you were against, you know, you get the analogy. I keep moving forward. You get it. You have to continue to get better. And again, I agree with you. Like, I understand the point, and I would love to have this conversation with Evan if he's having a different one. Like, there is a way to create offense and still have Brunson take the big shots. It doesn't have to be literally hand him the ball and everybody stand on the outside just and let him do whatever he wants. Like, there's got to be a way to, within the offense, allow him to take over, but still create looks for other players, still have an open man who could hit a shot. Like, there's got to be some trust in some other guys. And part of it is Karl Anthony Towns didn't, I'll give you, for the Karl Anthony Towns haters, I'll give it to you. It didn't feel like he wanted the shot at the end of the game. He doesn't want to get involved. I think the coach is, I think that's part of the game plan, and certainly Brunson's cool with it, but there's a reason he's on this team, and it's not to just stand on the sidelines late in the game. He's got to get more involved. But everything about the series, the atmosphere, I was talking about the fans from, you know, chanting, like, they were into it from the beginning. They're chanting flopper at Brunson. There was that one timeout sequence, and they're screaming it as they were reviewing a foul, I think, and they showed it. Jalen Brunson had, like, a towel in his mouth, and the whole crowd is chanting flopper. But, listen, I thought he got fouled a lot in the series. It wasn't called, and I think the series is going to be called completely different. I mean, this series was called extremely physical. Like, the Pistons played a smothering brand of basketball. It was really impressive, I thought. And, you know, no different in this game. And to keep coming back, like, this Pistons team, and how quickly they did it. Like, it's one thing, like, all right, you're down 14 after one. It's going to be a grind, right? You're down 14 after one. Let's just chip away. You don't have to get it all back at once. By the end of the half, they're up 2 points. All right, guys. We have to battle back, right? We're down. The Knicks just had their best third quarter of the series after being miserable in the third quarter. And it was funny. A lot of people. I wonder about the layup line at the start of the third quarter. After game five, Mikal Bridges talked about how he did that in Phoenix, where they were coming out lackluster out of the halftime, and it was just good to get some movement and take some shots and get into a flow before starting the third quarter, and it helped. They had the best third quarter by far. They outscored the Pistons by 13 points in that third quarter after a miserable second quarter. And you're going into the fourth quarter up 11, and if you're the Pistons, again, like, all right, let's battle back. You know, you don't have to get it all back in one possession. And I'm going to double check. I know obviously they're up 7 with 2.5 minutes left, but I want to find exactly when they tied the game. So they go into the fourth quarter down 11. And by, make sure I have it on the fourth quarter here. Yeah. It's a tie game with 6 minutes left. It took half the quarter. They made up 11 points in 6 minutes and then took a 7-point lead. Like, you got to give it to this Celtics team. I keep saying that because now we're focused on Boston next. You got to give it to this Pistons team. They continue to battle. Now, Schroeder played a lot of minutes in this game. I felt like, I got to look at the box. I felt like he was more impactful in other games in the series than he was last night. He played, Schroeder played 30 minutes, had 9 points. Yeah, he wasn't 1-for-4 from three. Wasn't as impactful. Obviously, Beasley in that second quarter in particular, and he ends, you know, he ends the first half with that three to put them up to. But he had 6 3-pointers in this game. They were bad from behind the arc too. Cunningham, let's be fair. Cunningham has a miserable game. He played 44 minutes. He scores 23 points. He's 0-for-8 from behind the arc. He's a -2 in the game. Durin was good. He got to the foul line 10 times, hit 9 out of 10, missed one at the end of the game there. Hardaway really didn't have an impact in this game. Like, they really weren't, like, doing all that much. Like, it never felt like, but yet suddenly they were thrusting themselves right back into these games with a couple of timely shots and good defense and bad offensive possessions from the Knicks, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, that Nick, that, I mean, I just said they, by 6 minutes left, let me double check how many points, I think it was at 103. Like, the Knicks in the fourth quarter, before going on the 11-0 run, or that 11-1 run, rather, that wins them the game, including the game-winning shot. In the fourth quarter, they enter it with an 11-point lead, 96-85. When they tie the game up with 6 minutes left, it's 103-103. So in half that quarter, they scored 7 points. 7 points. They got outscored. They were up 11. 11. They got outscored 28-7 to tie that game. Like, how is that possible? Or 18-7, rather. I'm sorry, 28-7. That's a lot. 18-7. 18-7 in the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. Like, their possessions were awful. They played really, like, stagnant offense. Karl Anthony Towns wasn't involved. I mean, it was just ugly basketball from the New York Knicks for way too long. And we saw it in the second quarter, and we saw it in the fourth quarter. It was just an up-and-down game. But ultimately, Brunson just wouldn't be denied. Were we able to get any of the sound mic from Brunson? I know we didn't hear any of the post-game sound on Keith's show. I wanted to play some of it if we had it. I'm sure we're still working on that. But, I mean, if they're going to take on the Boston Celtics, they have got to find a better way to get clutch shots and hit and get back in. Like, when they don't have a when they're in the fourth quarter there and they're getting outscored the way they're getting outscored and they don't have easy buckets. That's what I tweeted out in the first quarter. They were able to get some easy baskets. Nothing was easy for the Knicks this entire series offensively. And that's part of my concern too. Like, I know how smothering the defense was. They got nothing easy. And even the Pistons at times felt like they had a long stretches of at least getting easy baskets. Like, they weren't great shooting, right? Their shooting percentages were down. Their three-point shooting percentage was down this series. But it just felt like they would get easy buckets, especially in the paint. They would have a lot of dunks and easier layups. Everything was contested. Everything, every pass to the middle seemed to get a deflection, or like there was some issue with it. Like, nothing came easy. And they went on an easy basket run, really only twice in the series. Because I'm not going to include the last 2.5 minutes and the 11-1 run. Those baskets were not easy from Brunson. But for me, there was two stretches in this entire series where the Knicks got easy buckets. The beginning of this game in the fourth quarter and the 21-0 run that they went on at the end of game one. That's it. Those two bookends, everything in between and after that first quarter tonight, was very difficult to find their offense. They were able to find just enough, and OG Anunoby would have good first halves, and even Karl Anthony Towns, who were all pissed at, had big shots and big moments, but it wasn't easy enough. And if you're going to keep up with the Boston Celtics, you've got to find a way to get some easy baskets and not have to work so hard for it. Everything felt difficult. Everything felt like a fight. This entire series was a fight. They're going to have to be able to get into a groove, create something, find some mismatches, do something so that they can get some easy buckets and not have to work so damn hard.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.